Well, we sure feel our need this morning of the Lord. Each time we come to this place, I was thinking about the subject that we talked about last week, and we talked about fire last week, and we kind of started by thinking about a campfire that we were out at not long ago, and the warmth and the beauty of it, and how we sat there and warmed by it, and it was cool that night. And at the same time, we knew that if that fire got out of control, it would consume everything around us. We knew it was dry, and so we was real careful to let it burn a little ways and try to stomp it out and then make sure it was contained in that little area. And, you know, we mentioned last week about how that God says that He is a consuming fire. And the Lord kind of, His Word says anyway. And you know, the fire that the Lord has is like fire. He relates that to Himself. The Lord warms, He strengthens, He brings comfort, He brings security, the Lord brings pleasure, and yet He is a consuming fire also. And so we respect God, don't we? We respect Him in even a different way than we respect fire, because He told us that He's a consuming fire, and then He told us, and we mentioned this last week about the end of time, where that He would cast us into a lake of fire if we do not live for Him. And so I think about all those things, and I look at God and I see who He is. And, you know, I want to talk about a whole nother aspect of that this morning. We may have mentioned it slightly last week a little bit, but, you know, there's a warmth in living for the Lord that He wants to put within us that is more than haphazard. It's more than doing the minimum. It's called zeal. And I want to talk about the fire of zeal in our hearts this morning. I believe the Lord has that for us, and He wants us to have more than just the minimum. And He wants us to have more inside than just feeling a little warmth from a fire. A fire is always very, very hot. If you stick your hand in a fire, you're going to get burned. It's very hot. But the Lord wants to put a warmth, a fire within our bosom through His Holy Spirit that makes us radiate warmth to the world around us. They may not feel the fire itself totally, but they will feel the security that it brings. They will feel the warmth that it brings. They will feel the intensity that it brings in our lives. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have intensity in our spirit. I believe He does. For every one of His children, He wants us to have fire within our life. Something like fire. I thought about in John 2. I'm going to read this. It seems a little out of place almost, but I just want to bring out a point with it. John 2 and 15 to 17. It says, and this is speaking of Jesus, "And when He had made a scourge of small cords," He made a little whip, "He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not My Father's house an house of merchandise." You know, the Lord, His zeal was so strong for the service of God that He just could not bear to see them selling animals in the temple. He could not bear to see them doing things in the temple that maybe it was okay to do it outside the temple, but not in the temple. And it says, "And His disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of Thine house hath eaten Me up." You know, the Lord was not passive about what happened there. He had something within Him that energized Him more than what just seeing it and saying, "Well, I wish they wouldn't do that." Now, we can't always do the same thing. But, you know, we can have a zeal about the things of God. And we can have a passion that the Lord, that His ways are just like He wants them to be in our lives and in the service of the Lord. The service here, that there is a passion and a zeal and a fire that warms and radiates. I've heard Sister Roberta Wilson talk about when she was a little girl and she would come to camp meeting. She said one thing I always remember. It stuck out to her, the warmth that she felt during camp meeting. It was something that she could never forget. You know what that was coming from? It was coming from radiating from those that had warmth, that had zeal, that had ardor within their souls. And I want to go several places with this. But the word zeal there, when you look it up in Strong's, the Greek definition, it says properly heat. That is figuratively zeal. In a favorable sense, ardor. And it goes on, and some of the definitions it gives is a fervent mind, indignation, zeal. It's something like fire in the soul. Now, in Webster's, the word zeal, it says passionate ardor in the pursuit of anything. In general, zeal is an eagerness of desire to accomplish or obtain some object. And it may be manifested either in favor of any person or thing or in opposition to it. And in a good cause or a bad cause. Zeal is just something that brings passion. And so I just want to challenge us this morning with some thoughts about passion for the Lord and zeal. Do we just have it or not? Do some people just have passion and zeal and others don't? Or are there reasons people have that? Is there a reason? Is there something we can do that will change that within our life? I was thinking about when the Holy Spirit begins to work with our desires to do the will of God, and we begin to desire to do all the will of the Lord. We want that. We begin to desire that. The Lord begins to work with that. You know what that begins to produce? That begins to do something within us, doesn't it? It comes from something that we begin to say, Lord, I want this. I want more than just a hope that I'm saved. I want more than just a hope that maybe everything's going to be okay. I want you to give me some passion for the things of God. And I want you to give me some ardor and some zeal for the things of the Lord. I was thinking about the word apathy. Webster says apathy is want of feeling. There is no feeling. An utter privation of passion. Or insensibility to pain. Either applied either to the body or the mind. As applied to the mind, it is stoicism. A calmness of mind incapable of being ruffled by pleasure, pain, or passion. That's apathy. In the first ages of the church, the Christians adopted the term to express a contempt of earthly concerns. An apathy toward the things of this world, instead of an apathy toward the things of God. I was really touched by that. I want to read the definition of the word passionate. It means highly excited, vehement, warm, as passionate affection, passionate desire, passionate concern. And maybe we'll come back to that a little bit. I don't know. Expressing strong emotion, animated as passionate eloquence. You know, there's something about passion that excites, doesn't it? There's something about passion that is warm. We like passion, don't we? We like zeal. We like to see. I remember Sister Catherine Williams and how she would get so excited when we would start singing the songs. And she would get up and walk the aisles even and raise her hands, and she was just, you could tell it came from within. It was a passion with her. You know, I want us to think about how do we have passion, and how do we get there? How do we receive a little more desire to do all the will of God? And I was thinking about a fire. Fire fascinates me, and you all know we've had a stove the last couple of years, a wood stove, and burned wood some. And I've found out a lot about building a fire. And one thing is, if you want to build a fire, start with the little stuff. You can take a match and put it up to a piece of green wood and hold it there for a long, long time. You can even start it on fire, and it'll go out. It just won't really catch. But I'll tell you what you do. There's different ways to build it, I know. But one way is you get a bunch of little twigs, smaller than my little finger maybe, and you put a fire to those dry twigs, and they will blaze. And then you put a little bigger wood on there, and it'll blaze. And when you get that all blazing, you put a little more and maybe stand some stuff up over it, and almost every time it'll just blaze up in there, and it'll catch that wood. Even if it's not real dry, it will catch it. And I want us to think about that concept this morning, that we have to sometimes start with the little things. Put some things on the fire. Put some things there, some little things. And I was thinking about this morning about marriage. You know, have you ever, those of us that are married or have been married, you ever felt like your love got kind of cold and it just cooled off, and maybe there wasn't that passion there, and maybe there wasn't that strong feeling toward the other one, and it started cooling off? And I like passion in our marriage. I like to be able to see my wife and love her and have loving thoughts of her. I like that. You know, this morning, I'll tell you what I found out. When that happens, you can either decide, I'm going to accept that as the new status quo. That's going to be the way our life is. You know, that's just the way it is. We really don't have much fondness for each other. We really don't. Or I'll tell you what I found. We can stop and spend a little time together purposely. And we can start putting on little things on that fire. Little things. Do something the other one likes. Maybe they like to go to dinner. Take them to dinner. Maybe they like to go on walks or something. There's different things. But we begin to try to work with each other, don't we? We begin to try to put little things on the fire. And you know what? Without fail, I believe, without fail, it will begin to build a fire anew within us. That's in marriage. That's in relationships. You want to be closer to one another? Start doing the little things. Express to the other one, I want our relationship to be more than this. I want there to be something more than just we're stuck together. We're here because we said we would live with each other for the rest of our life. The Lord wants there to be something more than that. It's called zeal and passion and ardor. And it can be that way. Our life can be more than mediocre. And so this morning, we begin, to pay attention to the little things and try to say things that mean something to the other person. Try to do things that mean something to the other person. Try to find out what is it that would make our relationship better. And you know, when two do this, it'll work. I believe it'll work every time. It will work. That's the way you begin to stoke that relationship. And I know I'm going to bounce back and forth a little bit between the church and between marriage and things like that and our experience with the Lord. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants our life to be more than just mediocre. I really believe this. He wants our service here to be more than mediocre. He wants our fellowship together to be more than mediocre. But I will tell you, it takes work. And it comes because we put something into it. As the Lord begins to work with our desires, and we tell the Lord, Lord, I was telling the Lord not long ago, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I meant that. I started praying earnestly. I started seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to live close to you. I want you to help me to get close to you. You know, and you begin to maybe lay aside some things. Maybe you add some things. Maybe you put little things on the fire that the Lord wants you to put. Not wrong things necessarily. And if it is, we need to put that on the fire too. But I'm talking about maybe things of or time or whatever it is, something that the Lord wants us to put on the fire, put it on there and begin to put it on there and give it to the Lord. Start with the little things. Don't try to start, well, I just want to be this kind of person. Start right where we are. Start giving to the Lord what He's asking today. And start beginning to live that way. Give to the Lord. Put the little stuff on the fire. I know it's God that has to light the fire to start with. It's God that has to change our heart. But I will tell you, and I believe He'll do that for us. But I will tell you, after that, we have to work with the Lord. He works with our desires. We begin to work with Him. And the Holy Spirit wants our lives to be lives full of ardor and passion and for the things of God. We can just decide, well, I'm just going to live my life. I want to be saved. I'm just going to live my life. And we won't have much spiritual passion or ardor for the things of God. But if we say, I want this to be what God wants it to be. I want my life. I want my marriage to be what it ought to be. You know, we begin to put something into it and we get something back, don't we? Pretty soon the fire begins to blaze and then it catches something else and others put stuff fire. Pretty soon others are putting logs on the fire. It works that way. I really believe that. But we have to work with the Spirit of the Lord to allow Him to cause that zeal and ardor for the things of the Lord. I'll tell you one way we can begin to put little things on there. Does the Lord have something for you to do? I'm asking that question. Does the Lord have something for you to do? Can any of us here say, no, there's nothing for me to do? Do that little thing. Speak that little word. Help that one. Go out of your way to help someone. Spend that little time extra before the Lord. Read the Word of God. Begin to stoke that fire. Lord, I want to live like You want me to live. I want there to be passion for the things of God. Because I believe He wants us to have passion for the things of God. And I appreciate the passion the Lord gives. We stop. We pay attention. If there's things that we need to cast off, we cast off. If there's things that's bothering us in our marriage, it's time to stop and say, why aren't we reaching this place? What is it? Well, am I saying things? Am I doing things? You know, we begin to work at it, don't we? And the flame will begin to grow. I believe that. If two do that, it will happen, I believe, every time this morning. How is the quickest way to put the fire out? To put water on it. Throw water on it. Throw sand on it. That's the quickest way to put it out. Throw insults. Say words that hurt. Pick up things against one another. The fire will go out very quickly, won't it? Fire will go out in the marriage very quickly. We're going to have passion for one another. We're going to look at one another through eyes of love. If we've been hurting each other, put it aside. Water is a good way to extinguish the flame. In Romans 12 and 1, I want to look at this scripture here. I thought of the other night when we were at service in Oklahoma City. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, you know, this morning, sometimes we think of that in the abstract. Well, the Lord wants us to present ourselves so we can be sanctified. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to present ourselves to Him. He wants us to give ourselves, Lord, here I am. And I was thinking the other night also about Isaiah. Maybe we'll read that in a minute. But, well, I'll read that now. In Isaiah 6 and 7 and 8, it says, Isaiah heard the Lord. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is purged, and thy sin, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I know we have to be clean before God can enliven our life. The Lord has to purge us. He has to touch us. But I want to tell you what happened after that. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord. Here am I, send me. That's what Isaiah said. And you know, there's a dynamic that began to happen when he did that. You know what the Lord said? He immediately replied back. And it says, and he said, go and tell this people. And he had a little message for the people that he wanted Isaiah to say. He said, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And he went on and gave him a little message. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to enliven our hearts with a flame. But we have to present ourselves to the Lord. That means we have to say, here am I, Lord. Here's my life. Use it. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Make me one of your enlivened ones. Lord, use me to pray in service if that's what you'd like. Lord, use me to say amen. Let my hand go up in witness to a song that means something to me. You know, those are little sticks that we put on the fire, and the fire blazes, doesn't it? They're little sticks we put on the fire. It's easier to have apathy and say, I'm okay. I just want to live for the Lord. And, you know, I don't really want to push the limits. I don't want to have to put that stick on the fire. But you want passion? You want zeal? I love the passion and the zeal that the Lord gives in my heart. I love that feeling. I love to feel that passion to help people. And that passion of the Spirit of the Lord to do His will. But I will tell you, you better start putting some sticks on the fire then. Put some things on there. Go ahead and lead out in prayer. Well, I've not been saved all that long, and I'm not really. Put the stick on the fire, if that's what the Lord wants. What is it that the Lord wants you to do and me to do? There's something He wants you and me to do. Put the stick on the fire. Let the Lord burn it up. It's at a cost to us. It's a stick that we had. It's something we have in our life. Put it on the fire and let it burn. And God will send in return the heat, the passion, the fire, the warmth, the security, and the zeal that comes from fire. The Lord will do that for us this morning. I appreciate the Lord so much. You know, I want to finish that scripture in Romans 12 and 1. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, we don't just present ourselves to God as sinners, except to be saved. But you know, after we're saved, the Lord wants us to present ourselves to Him. Here, my Lord, use my life. Use my life. Well, I can't do this, but Lord, surely there's something I can do. You know, the Lord's looking for that. We are going to have to present to the Lord our bodies. We are going to have to present to the Lord what we have. He's not coming to get it, and He won't come and get it. But if we want spiritual passion and spiritual ardor in our life, I believe it's for everyone. There isn't a one of us here that cannot have a full supply of it. It comes at the expense of things we throw on the fire. I want to look at Matthew 22 and 37. Listen to what Jesus said. One came to Him and He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, you know, sometimes I think we think of this in an abstract way too. We think of, well, I need to just love the Lord. There needs to be a feeling in my heart. There needs to be. But I will tell you, the Lord says He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. The things we love need to be brought under subjection to the things of God. The things that we put into our life that we set our heart on ought to be God's things and things that He approves of in our life. Love Him with all of our heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know, this morning, Rosie, I know, sometimes talks about the scripture, but the Lord wants us to love Him with our mind and our passions and the very fire that comes from within. He wants us to worship Him with that. It's not wrong to praise the Lord. It's not something that we're trying to put on a show if we allow our emotions, our mind, to worship the Lord with all of our heart. Now, you know, people can put on a show and people can use emotions and emotionalize people. That's not the Spirit of God. But let the Lord work with our desires. Let Him work with our mind and our heart. And let Him have it. And tell Him, Lord, I want my mind to be Yours. In our home, in our marriage, don't we tell each other those kind of things? Don't we tell each other how much we love each other, how much we want to please one another? Don't we put it into practice? Don't we try to do our best to put those little things on the fire? Love the Lord with our mind. Tell Him, Lord, I want to love You with my mind, and I don't know how. And I want You to help me to love You with my mind and my emotions and my passions and my heart. I want You to help me to set my heart on things above. I want You to help me that the things that I think about, the things that I set my heart on, are things that You would have me set my heart on. Things that cause that passion within. Because I believe that passion, it's what makes things, it just blesses things. You know, you can have a home, you can have a marriage, you can have a certain amount of love and all of those things. But I'll tell you when it's really good, and that's when there's passion and love there. And it's a little more than just the two. That's when a home is sweet. That's when the burning love that you have for your children. And in the world today, not everybody has that, do they? But it's supposed to be in our homes. The burning love for our children. The desire to love them. You know what that's called? Passion. It's heat. It's zeal for our families. And don't we love it to be so in our lives? In 2 Timothy 1 and 6 and 8, Paul writing to Timothy here tells him something that is good for us to remember. Well, anyway, the scripture I'm wanting is, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, okay, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, Timothy told Paul, stir up the gift. He's relating this to a fire. Stir up what's there and make it hot. He said here, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now it sounds to me like Timothy could have been a little bit tempted to be ashamed of Paul's imprisonment. He might have been ashamed because Christians were scorned and looked down on as inferior and the cause of many ills in society in their day. And so he said, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Timothy, don't be ashamed of being of my chains. Don't be ashamed of me, His prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Just jump in there, Timothy. Give your life to it. Give your all to it. Don't be ashamed of it. We already know the world's going to scorn us. Live for God and let your light shine. Maybe you can deliver some of those, Timothy. In Clark's, I want to read what he said there about that. It's so good. It says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. The gift which Timothy had received was the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And through him, a particular power to preach and defend the truth. This gift is represented here under the notion of a fire, which if it be not frequently stirred up and fresh fuel added to it, it will go out. You know, this morning, I really believe if we take care of this, many other things we would never have to preach on. Because this will put us in the place where God will begin to work with us. Okay? This is the precise idea which the apostle had in his mind. Hence the term, and it's got the Greek word there, which signifies to stir up the fire, to add fresh fuel to it. I was thinking about the song, and I don't know this song, but I've heard it. Move up a little closer. Don't hide in the shadows. Come out and be counted with the children of the Lord. You know, I just want to encourage us. You know, when Brother Ed Wilson was here a few weeks ago, he sang a song and he asked everybody to move forward. And it was a blessing to see everybody just move forward. I know that's not the only thing in serving God, but I want to encourage us something. Let's put the stick on the fire. I know I never liked to sit up front. I almost thought I couldn't do it when I had to start sitting up front. It was almost more than I was willing to do. But I had to put that stick on the fire. You know, let's sacrifice a little to the Lord. Let's just move up a little closer. And I know some of you have. Even in a sense, let's let ourselves, let the Lord know, let people know we're all in there. We're going to serve the Lord with our passion, with our mind, with everything we've got. We're going to be there and be counted as one of the children of the Lord. Do the little things. I want to read one more scripture over here. Well, I have more than one left, but in Romans 12, again, reading on down in the second verse, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, this morning, God is a jealous God. And it says in John 4, it says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, there is other spirits in the world today. There's spirits of the world, of every kind, calling of the world out there. And you know, it says here, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, when we begin to let our heart out to the world, what that is another spirit. It's not the spirit that leads us closer to God. And it's not the spirit that leads us to heaven. And he says, don't be conformed to this world. Do you know, when we begin to do that, what we are doing is flirting with another. Now, you know, in our marriage, there isn't anything that could destroy it quicker than that, is there? We begin to not be faithful in our affections. That will destroy our marriage, won't it? You know, this morning, we have to put aside the things if we want the fire of God to burn in our life. Put aside flirting with other spirits. The spirits that drive the world of lust and money and pleasure and greed and all the things that the world has. If our life begins to consist of those things, don't you know that God is jealous? Do you think that there is going to be a passion for the things of God in our life if we are flirting with other spirits than the Lord? Let the Lord have our life completely. Let Him have it. And I will tell you what can happen. The zeal of God can burn within our life. And I believe it will. I believe if we do it God's way, His zeal will burn in our life. Now, we may not always have the most up feelings, But I will tell you, there will be a fire and a zeal to do the things of God that when somebody's something is, comes up, who will go? Who will do this? I will. I'll be there. The Lord wants that to be the case this morning, and He wants us to be willing and able. We cannot have a close relationship with the Lord unless we are all the Lord's. We cannot have a close relationship with our wife or husband unless we are all theirs. If there is even a sense that we're not all in and that maybe there's somebody else, then it's impossible. How are we going to have a close relationship? There's no way. That won't happen. But when we know we're all in there, we're all in, we can then begin to build a really close relationship of zeal and ardor and love and passion. And I believe the Lord wants it to be so. I thought about the Lord Himself. The song says, He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny. I may have this misquoted some, but 'twas the lonely hill of Golgotha there to lay down His life for me. And the song says, if that isn't love, then I don't remember what all it... The ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. All right? You know, this morning, Jesus had the zeal and the strong desire to come down here and die for us. Now, folks, we can do that for Him too. We can do that for one another. We can do that in our marriage. We can do that in our life for the Lord. Who will do that? There was a gap between us and God, wasn't there? There was a gap there. How was the gap going to be closed? Is there a possibility that we little people can reach God that we cannot? Heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. How are we going to do that? Because one loved us and had the passion, the zeal, and the desire to bridge that gap for us, and did. Don't we thank the Lord for that this morning? Folks, let's bridge the gap that is there. Let's bridge the gap between us and the Lord. Let's bridge the gap between us and our wife, our spouse, or husband, wherever we are in life. Let's bridge the gap between me and my brother or sister. Let's do those things. Let's have the kind of zeal, ardor, that the Lord had to bridge that kind of gap. He left the splendor of heaven. He loved us that much. I was thinking about, and I'm almost done, but I was thinking about a marriage again. And kind of going back and forth here between our walk with the Lord and our walk with our spouse. You know, sometimes, and I've read this too, what I'm fixing to say, sometimes people, a man or a woman, will leave their spouse and give themselves to another. And they feel like they've fallen out of love, and then they find someone else, and they begin to go to dinner together, and they begin to do the things, whatever, maybe that's not the thing they like to do. Maybe they take walks together. They begin to do all those nice things. What is it you would like? You know what? I was reading this, and I believe this from what I've seen as well. If they would turn and do that same thing for their spouse, most of the time, it would warm that thing back up. It would warm that relationship back up. Do those nice things for our spouse. Put those twigs on there, and then those logs, and let the fire burn. That's what it's supposed to be like. That's what the Lord paid a price for. He bridged the gap for us. Now let's bridge it between our spouse. Let's bridge it between our brother. Let's bridge it between us and the Lord. He bridged it. All we have to do is really accept that and begin to reciprocate that love. And I believe the Lord will put within us something that the world does not enjoy, nor can they, because they're not at one with God. The Lord made man to be right. He made man to be right with God. And when we're not right with God, it's impossible to have that kind of relationship. There's no way to have zeal and passion and love for the Lord when we're not living for Him. But the Lord made a way, didn't He? I was thinking about Job this morning. Last night, it just came to my mind. And you know, maybe we'll just read a little bit there in Job. The first chapter, Brother Jim mentioned it this morning in Sunday school also. But it says here in 7 and 8, starting in 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And 7 and 8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto him, Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" You know, the Lord kind of bragged on Job just a little bit, didn't He? There was a little more there than just a passive relationship. He said, "There's nobody like this man in the earth. He serves me." And He said, "He's an upright man, one that feareth God, and he hates evil. He eschews it. He puts it away from him." And then it goes on to say, well, I want to read back in 5. And it says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and according to the number of them all." This was his children, his sons and daughters. "For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." I just want to end with that. How do we live our life? Job lived his life like that continually. He didn't quit. He loved God. He served God. He was worried about his children. And it says he offered sacrifices for them just in case they sinned. Job did this, it says, continually. I want to encourage us this morning. I know we love the Lord this morning. I know the Lord has given many of us many good things. But serve the Lord continually. Let Him have it all the time. Let our marriage be that way. Serve one another continually, all the time. There's challenges come up regularly to try to defy us, try to throw down our marriages, isn't there? Try to throw down our walk with the Lord. Settle it in our hearts. Settle it. I'm going to serve God continually. I'm going to make those kind of decisions. I want Him to have my heart and my soul and my mind. And then I want Him in return to give me that fire that burns within. I thank the Lord this morning.